Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for School Days. Conversations about education and academia with educators, students, and parents. Let's hear from school administrators, board members, school districts, leaders, and more. It's School Days on Point with Wanda and Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
What a kickoff! It is School Days right here on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It is On Point with Wandalyn Stokes, and we have some very special guests that's sharing with us today. DeKalb County Board Member from the Board of Education, Vicki Turner. I want to say good morning and welcome to On Point.
Good morning, Wandalyn.
How are you?
Very good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so glad to have you here sharing with us today. And also a school counselor, affectionately known as Dr. Tan. Marilla, hi. Good morning and welcome to School Days.
Good morning. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited.
Thank you for having me as well.
Thank you. We're so excited to have both of you here. And as we're going to just go ahead and dig right on in, let us just start, first of all, Vicki Turner, tell us about your role as a member of the Board of Education for DeKalb County and how that goes about it and your role in that area.
Well, I want to thank you for just indulging us in this very meaningful discussion about school. I am a lifelong educator. I've been involved in education for over 25 years in my career. I'm a mom. I've raised three kids, so I've been involved in their education, and now I'm a grandmother of five.
Mm-hmm.
I ran for office. I'm going to start my third term. And part of our responsibility is, of course, trying to hire the best leader of the district that we can find in the way of our superintendent, and then managing or overseeing this budget. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really critical for us right now. Part of our challenge, Wandalyn, is that in the midst of a pandemic, we are faced with challenges that we've never had ever at this level and at an alarming rate. And so as a school board member, we've got some heavy lifting to do, but we work in concert with the superintendent, who is charged with the day-to-day operations of the district, but in support and collaboration with the seven-member board. And so it's a responsibility that is quite challenging. It's rewarding, but I take it to be very serious, because the decisions that we make will impact the quality of life for our stakeholders, for our children, for their families. So it's something that we don't take very lightly at all, but we take with a serious, sober-mindedness every day that we do it.
That's good. What about you, Dr. Tan? As a mother of one daughter, and just being so involved in mentoring programs and in the counseling, tell us about your role in school and in education.
As you just stated, as a mother and a grandmother,
okay,
of one, I call all of my children. I've been in education for the past 31 years. By the grace of God, and for the past 25, been a teacher / and a counseling role and on the administrative team. Ms. Turner has said earlier, the pandemic is the whole paradigm shift, mm-hmm, meaning that this shift has made the whole world have we had to go out the box. And to help all of us along the way, I provide services and support not only for our students and their family, but for our staff as well, because we are all going through, like I said, I mentioned before, a paradigm shift, something that just shifts so quickly. But again, with all of our knowledge and supporting each other, mm-hmm. and help them support themselves as we are in return, believe it or not, they have the counseling in them as educated to help support me to get through, to support so many, because it's one of me, and whereas a teacher have a classroom, I'm responsible for pre-K through fifth graders, but just so happen I have a coworker, but we divided, but in the event, again, that we are there for all our students and their parents, and it just don't stop with this education, with the whole child, we assist in giving other additional resources outside the school. The parent may need things such as assistance for food or clothing. Mm-hmm. Not that the school system provide that, but as the counselor and the caring person that I am in my role, I also make sure I reach out to have those lists of resources to refer them to. And my rebuttal is as far as the school system, like I said, it's just that we try to give them extended information as we grow through this pandemic and throughout a regular school year as well.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Ladies, I want to ask you, what is education in this day, in the midst of a pandemic? What is education and what does it mean to educate?
You know, I think that that is a great question, because it's morphed. Education as we know it has morphed into something that many have not considered in the past. Education now deals with life skills. How do you handle life's challenges? And at a very young age, you know, as a parent, our whole goal as parents is to protect our children. That's what we do. It's instinctive for most people. However, something has come, a threat, an unknown threat, an unseen threat has come where we weren't prepared for it. We didn't see it. Education now is, how do you teach your children how to manage life, how to manage the unknown, how to stay safe? Have we given and do we continue, if we've done it, continue to give them those skills to be able to navigate a new normal? Because what normal that we knew, it's over. Mm-hmm. This is a new normal. That's education. So people may think the schoolhouse is education. That's just a physical structure that we look at and we identify as a school. However, school starts in our homes. School starts in our churches. And school starts in our communities. That's school. And now, education now is incorporating. It has to incorporate all those factors that I've just mentioned so that we can navigate life and get our children safely to the other side.
Dr. Tan, do you agree with that? Because that parents and even community at large are having to look at education from a holistic perspective, that it starts at home, church, and community, and not in just a physical
absolutely.
Building.
Absolutely. And Mr. Turner hit it, the nail on the head, as my grandmother would say. I agree wholeheartedly, 100%. Being that I grew up in a household with grandparents because my mom was a teen mom, my grandmother was taught from a Bible to read, and I was so shocked when I was in college to know that she could read 3 and 4 syllable words, being that she had a third grade education. She shared with me how the community at large, they would take, some would work at day by day, mm-hmm. and by night, the community, we have to come back to our roots, as Ms. Turner had spoken, just said a little earlier, whereas the neighbor
our neighbors. You got to trust your neighbors. You got to start networking with your neighbors and your family members. It's not only our grandmothers, our grandparents. We got to reach out to the aunties and cousins and so forth as well.
Yeah, got to reach out to the whole family. Dr. Tan, hold just a second, and I'll be right back. It's School Days as we continue the conversation with educators and board members. It's all about school. It's On Point with Wanda and Stokes for News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It's On Point with Wanda and Stokes, Radio News and Talk 1380 WAOK. And with them is for our new feature, School Days. We're talking with Dr. Tan, Marilla, and DeKalb County Board Member Vicki Turner. Dr. Tan, you were talking about the importance of the community, depending on family, grandparents, aunties, uncles, and how that is important to education.
It's very, very important to education because, like I stated earlier, it goes back as far as 300 years ago. And my grandmother, I said, mentioned she was 102 when she passed a couple years ago. And through that, being raised in a household with grandparents at the time, because my mom was a teen mother, I was fortunate enough to have both grandparents and great-grandparents and so forth on both sides. And through their eyes and through their teaching, I learned from, they pushed me to go further in education because they too learned, they believed that education is since birth, since earth. But what they did as a community from farming to harvesting and raising their own vegetables and fruit and building their community, they also made sure that their children and generation out learned to read and write and also mathematics, excuse me. Being that her father, they didn't have access to the books, and it's kind of coming back to the homes where everybody don't have a certain everything that they want at their home as far as technology. But everybody pretty much have at least a cellular phone in their homes. And I was just thinking you can go use, other than the technology that we share as educators, you can go beyond that. Use other technology. YouTube could demonstrate, show you visuals, because a lot of times when someone's sharing it with you, you might need to see a visual. I say do Google search. Do things as far as that to stand out. And when you use your family members, when you don't know how to do it, and even late in the evening when you can't call your upon it teachers who are doing your virtual lesson, reach out throughout the community because someone knows, and especially your younger generation, they can always enhance your knowledge about things that are as far as technology. And again, use your whole family, use your neighbors. It'll be back to that. You share responsibility, and I'd like to give it up to our new commercials as well. And our news channel, they are showing families who have, they share how they network with each other. So it's giving us a lot of ways. It's a new, Miss Vicki said, Miss Turner said earlier, it's the new norm. We're in a new norm. And we have to, the new norm is a whole different setting. We're using our homes, and we can use each other's homes, and we can use our churches to come together to, you know, do small groups. And I know church members, they have families. Now, matter of fact, I go to a very small church where it's three or four families that meet, you know, one come on Monday, some come on Tuesday. And if you're a listener, you can even suggest that to your pastor or your minister or someone that you know who, a business owner, you know, where you can use their business, small business owner. You can use network and use their building in the evening to, you know, to teach or support or tutor two or three kids on, you know, one day on, one day off, because practice social distancing is still exists, and the virus is real. So
yes,
we do want our families, our children to stay safe. That's the first and foremost thing. And again, as Ms. Turner said, we want our students safe. We want our children safe. We want our adults. Without the adults, we can't have our children. So we want everyone to stay safe. And again, just be vigilant and continue this thing. And it's easier said than done. We do know that. And that's why we have a support team inside our school system. But again, I want to empower our listeners, like Ms. Turner had stated earlier, that we have to do the school was a physical structure.
Uh-huh.
We do need to we are in a place where we are using our homes, but I just wanted to extend the thought of, like you said, like I mentioned earlier, talk to your minister or
yes.
whatever, your minister, your neighborhood businesses, and so forth. You'll be surprised at how many people are really, really doing it. And personally, I know several myself that...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I'm working with, and I don't mind, you know, even after hours to go out to do one or two kids. So we could keep our social distances and also stay safe.
Yeah, that's very important that you mentioned that. You know, it's just shared responsibility of the community, Dr. Tan. Vicki Turner, let me ask you something about reopening. What are your thoughts on schools reopening? Are we really putting kids in harm's way?
Well, I don't think, I'll say this. The real question for me is it a safe decision for the community?
Okay.
Because it's been said, Wanderlyn, that, you know, children are very resilient. People think, oh, if they catch it, they can recover. It's been said even on the national stage and made very little of the virus itself being in children. Mm-hmm. However, we know that children are dying from this. We do. We know it has happened in several states. But the challenge is what those children take home. When you congregate in large groups, you take home, you got older parents, sometimes grandparents are raising the children, and so our grandparents become vulnerable mm-hmm. to what has happened with the children. I don't know if you, I was just looking at something very recently where a daycare center was reopened for camp, mm-hmm. a camp, and,
yes.
and over half of those children in attendance now have COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that they take that home, take it to the larger community, whatever their community looks at. As a board member, and I'm a mom first, and I tell people that first, I am a mama, and that's never going to go away in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I make decisions, I make them out of a mother, a perspective. I make them from a God-centeredness for me, a spiritual conviction. So I don't take that lightly.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot afford to open schools, mm-hmm. face-to-face instruction, when we put mm-hmm. our staff at risk. The staff is part of the larger community. Many of our teachers are absolutely afraid to go back into the schoolhouse because of what those children could bring to them, because they have underlying health conditions.
Mm-hmm.
They need to work. They want to work, but they cannot do it without that spirit of fear taking over them. So I think it's incumbent upon us, even though you may have some neighboring counties that have opened up the school doors, if you see some of the pictures we are seeing, those children are moving yeah. throughout the halls. There's no social yeah. distancing taking place. It's like business as usual, life as usual, and we're going to get a wake-up call, and we're going to understand life as we knew it does not exist anymore. It's
right.
over.
Yeah.
And if we and we have to raise our children to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to understand that we've got to navigate wisely and carefully. And, you know, I'll say this and I'll be quiet. The initiative that President Obama started about being my brother's keeper.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful initiative. Wonderful. But I'm gonna broaden that thing.
Okay.
I want to expand it. We're our neighbor's keeper. We're our sister's keeper. We're all of that. We've got to help each other be more responsible.
That's not right.
Just for keeping our children out of prison. Now we're trying to keep them alive so they can grow to the level of maturity and live productive lives. That's where we are. We're in a life and death situation right now.
That's right. Vicki Turner sharing with us. And I'm going to come right back to you, Vicki. We're going to go to break right now, coming back to School Days with Vicki Turner and also Dr. Tan Marilla. Join the conversation. Ask your questions, 404-892-2703. Todd, I've got you coming up and more. It is On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes with News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Live well, win well. It is On Point with Wanda Lynn Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. And we're in School Days with Dr. Tan Marilla, who is a school counselor, and DeKalb County Board Member Vicki Turner. Ladies, I've got Todd on the line. He has a question or comment. Good morning, Todd. Go right ahead.
Tan Marilla, Vicki Turner, and Wanda.
Okay.
Vicki Turner, what position do you have with the school board before I get into my question?
I am the vice chairman of the Board of Education.
For
Atlanta? DeKalb County.
DeKalb County.
Okay. All right. I want to ask the two of you this, then I have a comment. Do you feel that there would be a benefit if the taxpayer-funded neighborhood public schools mandated parent participation in the school system and or a surrogate in place of that parent if for some reason that they could not fulfill the mandation for the purpose of making sure that the schools have more free support? For example, so that I'm clear on why I'm posing this question, all the schools have projects that require some additional help and separate from what the teachers do, and or could be helped as supplemented the teachers' work and the principals' work. So if there was a list of projects that every parent was supplied with at the beginning of the year or prior to the beginning of the year, that you have to sign on with some of this, and you have to help complete it to a successful completion. And if you don't sign on with it and if you don't do it, then you have to find somebody to fulfill your place or your kid can't come here. What do you feel about that as a something to be in place in a taxpayer-funded neighborhood public schools? Then I have a comment.
I think, Wanda Lynn, I need you to, if you can, restate Todd's question because he kept going in
here.
We didn't understand the fullness of the question.
Okay, Todd, ask your question again. Just get straight to the question.
Do you feel taxpayer-funded neighborhood public schools should be able to mandate parent participation under a structured series of programs or their children cannot come to the school? Do you feel that would be useful?
Do you think that'll be useful for it to be mandated for parent participation in the school system?
Let me say this. Every child, every family has a right to public education. Every family, every student. Now, those rights are not subject to parent participation. Let's just get real about it.
Okay.
Now, in an ideal world, Todd, in an ideal world, parents would be involved. And in an ideal world, they will help their children or get their children the supplemental help for projects or things that they're not as comfortable about. That's what my husband and I did as parents. But we are not dealing with ideal situations, and this is even before the pandemic. And so I believe that you cannot mandate or legislate from public education perspective parental involvement. What you can do is continue to incentivize their environment, their involvement. Continue to come up with creative and innovative and out-of-the-box kind of ways to bring parents into this educational process. Because what I do know, the success of students depends on parental involvement. I believe that. And I think that while parents are stressed, and I understand this, we're trying to keep a roof over their children's heads, single parents, grandparents, You've got a lot of variables in here that are impacting outcomes. But we've got to come where they are. Either we can sit on the fence and judge it, or we can extend ourselves to become a part of the solution. So I think it was Dr. Tan said that we have to extend our need to the community, because maybe the parent can't go to PTA meetings, but the neighbor down the street can go and bring back the information, and the next time this parent can go and bring back the information. That becomes the need of the community, a collective force of the community or extended family. So I don't think mandate is a strong word, and I understand the implications of it, but I don't think you can do that.
Yeah. Todd, you have one more comment?
Yep. Now, that was a question. This is a comment. I want to encourage you, and please do not receive this as being delivered with any sarcasm, because I am not being sarcastic, okay? Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, all of you, and even people listening, take the time out to read the information that's being put out by Pfizer, Eli Whitney, GlaxoSmithKline, these research and pharmaceutical companies that are putting together the vaccine, so that you will understand that the coronavirus is a virus that could be explained to someone who does have a third grade education, and for that matter, if they're of average intelligence, a third grade level of maturity. This is not something that's not going to be cured. This will be cured. This problem will be fixed for the vast majority of the population within the next 6 months. Easy. The coronavirus is not complicated. What complicated this problem is that there weren't enough people, infectious disease researchers, detectives, that were out and about looking for this in order to catch it before it got to the public at the mass level that it has.
And how are you relating that to students in the school?
I'm relating that in this, that we shouldn't be telling kids, we should be putting this in front of kids so that they will understand this information. The truth about the virus, the truth about how the vaccine is developed,
okay,
and then they understand better the truth about to what degree, if at all, from this point forward, that their structured education is going to be restructured. It's
okay.
Going to be fixed.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Todd. Thanks for calling. Yep. Let me go to Kenny. Kenny out of Atlanta. Hi. Welcome to School Days. Go right ahead with your question.
All right. I got a question. A lot of poor kids depend on school lunches, and if they don't go to school, they might not eat for the day. Millions of poor kids in America don't have home computers, and studies say that 9 million kids across America live in a home without Internet access, and there are 2.5 million kids in America. And the single mother that has a 10-year-old child, she cannot leave that 10-year-old child at home by itself to homeschool. That single mother would pretty much have to quit her job to stay at home with the child. So my question is, for the schools across America, this is what I'm saying on the Internet, for the hungry child that has nothing to eat, for the millions of kids that have no Internet access in their home, or maybe not a computer, so how do you do virtual learning if you have no Internet access in your home and maybe not a computer? It seems like nobody's thinking about the poor kids. The rich and the middle-class kid got a computer. Oh, they got Internet access, but for the millions of kids that have no computer or no Internet access, and they depend on school lunches, what are those kids supposed to do?
You know what, Kenny, those are good questions. We're going to come right back, and I'm going to let Vicki Turner and Dr. Tan answer that question. We'll be right back. Hold tight, Kenny. We'll be right back. It is School Days on Point with Wandel and Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. It is On Point with Wandel and Stokes on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Kenny, you raised some key questions here, and I'm going to ask Vicki and Dr. Tan to respond. Vicki Turner, what are we to do about the hungry kids, those who don't have Internet access and computers?
Hey, Kenny, I am so happy you asked that question. I really am. Because I'm going to ask you one when I'm done.
Okay.
Let me tell you, DeKalb County, our population consists of 73%, and we've got about 100,000 students. 73% are on free and reduced lunch. That implies that they come from maybe impoverished areas or they need some financial assistance. Now, let me tell you what our commitment is. every student will have meals. We went when we shut the schoolhouse down in March, we began to employ our bus drivers, our school workers to deliver meals to those students, take them into the communities, had a drop-off site, we had a pickup site. So we're not just ignoring the challenge. We are becoming actively involved in the solution. Now, I'll go on and say this, Kenny. We've been delivering meals on weekend. You do know that we give food, enough food on Friday, so the children can have food over the weekend. So we're not just ignoring them and saying that as long as the schoolhouse is open, that's the only time we'll meet your need. But we're saying even when the schoolhouse is closed, we're going to be part, an active part of your need. Now, that's the physical food. That's food for the body. Now, for the intellect or the mind, the computers, we have made a concerted effort and we have made a commitment that out of a $1 billion budget that this the county has, we will make sure every student has a laptop or a tablet, whatever they need. Additionally, Kenny, we are helping them with getting connectivity in their homes. So you can't just give them a computer, Kenny, and you don't have the access to get on. So we are thinking holistically with meeting the needs of these children. And I'm so proud to be a part of a district that says, I won't cast you to the side because you can't come to me. I'm going to come to you. Now, Kenny, I'm going to be quiet because I could talk all day.
Okay.
My question to you is, I used to ask my staff, when I'm a boss, okay, and I employ people, and I said to my staff who were teachers, don't come to me bringing me a problem unless you have a solution. So I say to you, Kenny, while you have articulated very well, and I appreciate it, the problem, I want to know, Kenny, what are you going to do?
This is what I think should happen.
This is not a schoolhouse problem. This is not a schoolhouse problem. That's why our community must wake up. This is a society problem. And unless we all do our part, may the Lord have mercy on us. We must all do our part, as Dr. Tan said, going in and help tutoring children, going in and taking maybe two, going in and say, parent, I'm going to help you with this. Carry your load. That's what this thing is about. And this pandemic has forced us to think like this, to say we're not going to be selfish and it's only about my children and no more. But we must extend ourselves to the community as a whole. And I'm going to be quiet.
Okay, now this is what I think should happen. This is across America. Before any kid go to school, every kid should have to have a coronavirus test 2 weeks before the school starts. Now, if that kid come back positive, that kid can't go to school. So I'm thinking these schools are not even doing coronavirus tests on the kids. So every kid, make sure that every kid have a coronavirus test 2 weeks before the school starts. So even if they're positive, they can sit out for 2 weeks. But my thing is, the question that, I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but 9 million kids don't have internet access. So in DeKalb County right now, let's say in DeKalb County there might be 10,000 kids in DeKalb County with no internet access. So when virtual learning start in DeKalb County, the 10,000 kids that don't have internet access, what are they supposed to do about virtual learning?
I can't believe you asked me that question, because that means you didn't listen to my response.
You said computers.
And I don't mean to be facetious. I don't mean to be facetious. I'm not being disrespectful, but I just gave you the statistics. It's not just throwing a random 10,000 students out there. We have 73%, which is a heck of a lot of children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to try to use the right words, because I almost said a bad word. But we have a tremendous amount of students who have needs. And, Kenny, what I said is, DeKalb County School District has made a commitment that all of those 73% of free and reduced lunch, that's me, those children without connectivity, that means children without computers, that they would have what they needed.
So as of right now, 100% of DeKalb County students have internet access in their home right now.
No, that's not what I said. I said they will have what they need.
Okay, now when school
and
starts.
I want to add to the, I want to add to the fact, we have students who have it or whatever. You still, as Ms. Biggie Turner stated, this is my disclaimer. This is my opinion. This is not based on, it's based on me being an educator, a mother, and a community leader and an advocate for students and their families. Before we even had an internet, we used books. We used the children watch TV every day. You can turn on ZBS TV television. Again, when you use your community, you use your family, you when they watching TV, when you in your kitchen cooking, there's no
yep.
excuse for us not to extend our learning to our kids. You don't. And my grandmother was 103 years old. She had a second grade, third grade education from mm-hmm. to learn how to read mm-hmm. from her dad. On that note, she knew how to make cakes and provide for her family. And when she cooked some, she measured, she showed us what to cut. When she was putting some in a bowl, when she used two eggs, one egg, while one egg was important for two.
Yes.
You can use things like that. I have a three-year-old grandbaby who, in the beginning of her learning, I don't depend on her daycare or anyone else to teach her as me and her parents and myself. When we in a car, we vibe, I show her with a tree. What color is the tree?
Mm-hmm.
What color
yes.
what's the sky? You,
yes.
you use every resource.
Yes.
You use your countertop to say, what, is this a square or a circle? Again, Kenny, this not, again, and for our listeners, we need to start talking about empowering. Again, question is, that's a good question, but again, the questions bring out things that we can do, like Ms. Turner said, what is the solution? When you
right,
ask that
right.
question, think of your solution as well. Even when you ask us the question, and you ask your family or your friends that you'll be around, ask them what their solution. Maybe they don't know. These are the things that we want to empower you and we empower each other. Use, I remember times I shared with some of my peers. I grew up with my grandparents. They didn't know about a three-ring binder or what have you. My
uh-huh.
grandma yeah. used to get a brown paper bag and cut it up and tell me to write notes on it or whatever.
yeah.
So, again, it's always we got to learn. We got to come back to survival skills. And that's how you're yep. going to survive anyways. Because we don't know even as educators. We have been cutting back money as well as educators. Every we getting cut back because we're trying to keep people employed as well. So it
yep.
goes on. It just don't stop there. So.
Yeah,
again,
we just got to continue.
Use your tool. Use your book. Take a word. You know, every day I show my she don't even know what she's no letters, and I told her those letters make words. And again, it's for real. Yes, they make a word. So what is the word?
That's
and I
right.
Just, like
that's
I said,
right.
your name, I said, that is a word. So now she's learning, oh, I didn't know that was a word, Grandma. It is a word. Your name, Malia, is a word.
So you're constantly
again,
teaching.
To empower our kids.
Yeah,
and
Dr. Tan.
Our kids with internet or without an internet.
Dr. Tan, and
yes.
that's what you're doing in the home and even in the classroom.
Yes.
That's what you're doing. You're continuing to educate your kids, your family,
yes.
and that's all of us taking responsibility.
Yes.
Listen, I've got 1 minute left. Ladies, first of all, can I have you back again real soon? Because I've got to finish some more conversation.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful.
Yes.
Listen,
yes.
as we're
yes.
closing out, Vicki Turner, if you can give one word of wisdom to parents, and Dr. Tan, can you give one word of wisdom or inspiration to students and to kids that are going back to school? Go right ahead, Vicki Turner.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
I would say to our parents, I know. Please, I do. These are challenging times. It's some difficult days, and we don't even know what's in front of us, but we know only today. Children respond to crisis and life's challenges based on how their parents respond. And so I want to challenge you, parents, as we are teaching. We lead by example, and our children are seeing how do we
yeah.
respond. And so make a decision, a concerted effort. If you have to go in the closet and cry and scream and kick,
yes.
go in there and do it. But come out and tell your children, we can do all things. And I say that from a spiritual connectedness. I don't know what yours is. But
that's
we come back and say, we can do this thing. Yes, it's hard, but we're not going to complain. We're going to partner with our community. We're going to reach out for help, and we're going to cry out if we need it. But I believe together, it's not just coining a phrase, but I say this, parents, you have more parents, more partners that are for you than there are against you. And we can do this together.
That's good. That's good.
Remain committed.
Thank you, Vicki Turner. Real quick, I got 30 seconds, Dr. Tan. Give your closing words.
My closing word would be, Ms. Vicki Turner, stay encouraged, reach out, keep faith, and know that you're not alone. We are all in this together. We are one. We are all in this together. And I appreciate all your time. And, again, I hope that the things that we shared, you know, that it comes from our heart.
Yes.
To empower, to encourage, and to keep faith, not to destroy or to hurt or harm.
That's
Thank
right.
you.
Thank you. Thank you both, ladies. We love you. It's been great
Thank
school
you.
Days on point with Wanda Lynn Stokes. Thank you, Dr. Tan. Thank you, Vicki Turner.